We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A unique look into St. Louis. The book is Scenes of Historic Wonder, author Cameron Collins, this weekend on Profiles.
Welcome to Profiles. From entertainers to athletes, political leaders to entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis. One of the co-authors joining us in studio is Cameron Collins. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think it's great that you're in person. I'm so glad you decided to come in. You also brought a copy of your book. This is a hardcover book if I've ever seen one. This is a heavy-duty book.
It is. It's a big coffee table book. Mm-hmm. Heavy.
It's great.
Yeah.
Do they sell this at the History Museum?
I'm sure they do. They've got to have it in stock, but pretty much anywhere you can buy books, you can you can find it.
Who are your favorite local bookstores in town?
I do all the independents.
Yeah.
Muth Bank and Novel Neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Novel Neighbor is, my wife loves Novel Neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the museums, just like you said, the Campbell House Museum right up the street.
Mm-hmm.
Is where actually I volunteer there, so that's where I buy most of my books.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What I notice about the History Museum is they have an awesome little gift shop, and things aren't like crazy priced there.
No.
You just assume they're going to be because it's inside of like a History Museum, but they're actually very reasonable. So you go in there and you're like, oh, I don't feel bad buying things here. Sometimes you go into places like you go to a game or you go somewhere and it's like $10 for a drink and $15 for a hot dog. And you're thinking, oh boy, I can only afford one. Well, you go into like a place where that's actually reasonable. You end up spending more, I think. It works in the long run. You have so many great photos in this.
Yeah, and actually, we couldn't have done it without the Missouri History Museum.
Yeah.
And because many of the photos come from their collection, and they are so generous about it. And, of course, as I mentioned, my co-author works for the Missouri History Museum, Jamie Barassa. And sorry she can't be here tonight, but she is a force and couldn't have done this book without her.
Awesome. So what do you cover in Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that. Like, I'm so excited about this book because I've always been a fan of St. Louis history.
Mm-hmm.
I think St. Louis is one of the most historically significant cities in the United States. And I'm not from St. Louis, so I'd love to say that.
Where are you from?
Upstate New York.
Okay. What makes St. Louis so historic to you?
It's got everything. Think of the major conflicts in American history, from the Civil War to the American Revolution, mm-hmm. to its industry, beer, baseball, shoes,
mm-hmm.
Cholera, tornadoes, floods. It touches everything, and very few cities can say that in America.
The architecture here is beautiful.
It is. The brick.
The brick is amazing.
Which is featured in the book.
Yeah.
So really what we're showing in this book, though, is kind of like the offbeat, you know, images from St. Louis history that are a little off the beaten path. You know, there's a lot of photographs, historic photographs out there that everybody knows, you know, that everybody has seen photos of the arch and there's, you know, famous stuff. But what we went and did is found photographs of great history and stories from St. Louis that kind of flew under the radar for the last 150 years.
Wow. It's hard to believe. Well, no, it's not hard to believe that there's great stories that have flown under the radar. You know, the weird thing about history is there's so much that's forgotten that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And you find that you recycle the same stories over and over, and people sit there and go, oh, that's awesome. I love that. There is so much more to discover. You think about the process that people go through to try to digitize some of the old documents. There's things that have been sitting in boxes for 100 years that if you were to just open it up, you'd probably make a mind-boggling discovery. It's just waiting there for someone to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that going on. So tell me some of the things you discovered when you were doing this book.
Yeah. You know, my favorite is, is a story. I'm going to bring up the Campbell House right down the street, and they like, for example, there's a photo we use in the book taken in 1885. And it's very rare for historic homes to have photographs of the interior of their house taken at that time. The Campbell House is lucky to have 60 of them. They have a full album.
Wow.
And what's remarkable about that is...
They had a good realtor when they were trying to sell it. They had all kinds of photos.
Yeah, they lost those photos, though. They were they were discovered in a dumpster in 1973.
Wow.
The museum had no idea that they existed. And they were, you know, placed in the hands of the director at that time. And it was just like a remarkable discovery.
That is a remarkable discovery.
But even other stuff, like we have a photo in there that I love of, you know, River de Pere is a waterway in St. Louis that often gets, you know, a little bit mocked in St. Louis, you know, the River de Pew. but, you know, some people may not know that the River de Pere once flowed through Forest Park.
Huh.
And to prepare for the World's Fair, they had to dig a tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
And divert the river under Forest Park. And so we have a photo in the book of this massive tunnel.
The idea of them during the World's Fair, and there's a great exhibit at the History Museum showing some of the photos of the preparations and everything that went into it. That was a massive undertaking. It's hard to imagine putting anything like that together anymore, because most of our special events, if it's a week long, it seems like it's a long event. Anymore, you try to fit everything into a weekend. Imagine trying to spread it out over a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, building all the structures. You're building a city on itself in Forest Park for something like that.
Yeah, we have a whole section on the World's Fair in there. Everything from clearing the trees to the baby incubator exhibit. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and then another favorite is there was a popular attraction on the Pike where elephants, it was called Shoot to Shoots, where elephants slid down a giant slide into a pool. So, I mean, it's just great stuff like that.
An elephant slide.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I also like when you can get that folklore out there where people try to guess if the Ferris wheel's buried under the ground.
Yep.
You know, people have their own little stories and things that have been traveled through the years, and you don't know if exactly they're true or not. You know, what's really good is Johnny Rabbit. Ron Ells does a great job with his presentations talking about those things. Do you know him at all?
I do, yeah. I have not met him personally, but I know of him. So,
yeah. Oh, you would love him. He puts on those presentations about once a month at the History Museum.
Oh, yeah.
World's only... Was it the bowling pin car? What in the world is this? National Bowling Hall of Fame and Museum in St. Louis. I haven't visited that.
It's gone now.
Is that the one that shared it with the Cardinals?
Yeah, yeah. And now I believe it's in Dallas, but it moved. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird. Do you think the Cardinals would share with that? I look at all of these classic photographs. How hard is it to get the rights to use these things for a book?
It is... incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Fortunately, though, many of them came from, as I mentioned, the Missouri History Museum, but also other, you know, sources and people that we reached out to that helped us out. But yeah, that's definitely a big thing with books like this, is you've got to have not just permission to use these photographs, but you got to have an image of quality size that can print. So... but then, of course, we're lucky that some of them are in public domain now. But there's one, there's a few photos in there that I got from a gentleman who owns an antique shop down in South St. Louis. And I went down there and he found these photographs at a, basically he was just one of those guys who bought them at a garage sale.
Yeah.
And they're a bunch of glass plate negatives. And he went and had them all printed. And so I think we have three of them in the book, and he's a great guy. He just asked that I give him a couple signed copies of the book.
Isn't that the dream, to go to a garage sale and find a box of photos like that?
Yeah.
Do you go to garage sales looking for that?
I do. Oh, yeah, of course.
I know. Anytime I go to a garage sale, I think this could be it. It's more fun than playing the lottery. You think you're going to find something historic that's been in a basement or an attic somewhere for all those years. You know, today is also a historic day. They put the centerpiece into the arch some many years ago.
Oh, is that today?
That was today. So 54 years ago today, the final piece of the arch was placed. And you were living, not here at the time, You said you didn't grow up in St. Louis?
No, but I wasn't born until 71. Either,
oh, so. Okay. So it was
I look older,
but. October 28th, 1965, when the final piece of the monument was put at the very top. You actually have a little piece in the book that talks about the original plan to get to the top of the arch.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that plan?
It was like a big giant staircase.
Yeah. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
It is a giant staircase. It's a very wide, giant staircase. They were going to have you climb 630 feet to the top.
I guess. Yeah.
Plus, it's since the way we look at it now, you kind of go underground to get to the top of this thing. So it's probably closer to 650 feet, maybe even more, 670 feet to the top. How many people would be able to do that?
Yeah,
that's a
no
trek
kid.
And a half.
No kid.
And then I don't know how you'd be able to stop people. So they put the tram inside of this thing instead, which is the reason why so many millions of people come and visit this, because they want to take it up to the top.
More great stories around St. Louis and co-author of the book Scenes of Historic Wonder St. Louis, Cameron Collins, will continue with him on KMOX Profiles. I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
This weekend on KMOX Profiles, we are looking at a local author who has wrote multiple books, but his latest that's out called Scenes of Historic Wonder St. Louis. It's a book that he co-wrote with Jamie Barassa. His name is Cameron Collins. We'll continue our conversation with him. You can look the book up online. And if you would like to listen back to this or even share this interview, just go to KMOX.com in the podcast section. You'll be able to listen to this interview in its entirety and check out any other profiles available.
You've been to the top of the arch, haven't you?
Actually, yeah, you know what? And I just went to see the new museum and go to the top just a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, it's fantastic. It looks great these days.
The museum's so cool.
It is, as a St. Louis history fan, nut. It took my breath away, and I was there with a friend who wasn't as interested in it, and I kind of said, we can't do this now, because I got to come back on my own and kind of, but the people who put that together, they did a fantastic job.
Yeah. The book's called Scenes of Historic Wonder St. Louis, and one of the co-authors, Cameron Collins, joins us in studio. I know that if you were to work for the Arch or you're one of the people in PR of the Arch, they're not going to like what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So whenever we have friends come into town, we take them to the Arch and we go through the museum. Personally speaking, unless they say they really, 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 really want to go to the top, honestly, to me, it's more impressive standing at the bottom looking up than it is standing at the top looking down.
Mm-hmm.
I think the top looking down, you get your 5 minutes and you're bored and you're like, okay, let's go. I got my pictures. I got my selfies. It's kind of cool. It is so much more impressive to be on the base of that thing looking up, put your hand on the arch, and just to be around it. To me, that is a much better feel.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It costs money. You got to, you know, plan ahead of time. You got to get your tickets like the day before to do all this stuff. So whenever we have friends, they all want to see the arch. I just tell them, we're going to go through the museum, we're going to come out, and you're going to look at this thing. It'll be 10 times more impressive from the bottom than it is from the top.
But what about the
controversial
movie?
Controversial take.
You got to see the movie, though.
The movie?
Monument to the Dream.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Guy, you know,
the
like,
pictures and stuff.
And the thing was done.
That's kind of cool.
It is good. I remember when I first came to St. Louis for the first time, a friend of mine was like, the movie is better than the arch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That movie's pretty cool.
We all actually fell asleep during the movie because we had been out too late the night before. So
maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. I'm thinking of the one they show you while you're in line waiting to go on the tram to the top. This is a different one?
Yeah, you got to go into the theater or whatever. And it was made in like 1962 or whatever.
Where's the theater at in there?
I can't remember, but it's great. It's in black and white, and they have all the footage of like them, you know, spraying the fire hoses to, you know, to because the steel was too...
Yeah.
Expanded, and they had to fit that last piece in, like you mentioned.
Really? They had to warp it in a way to get that last piece in?
Yeah. It was off by like 2 centimeters or something like that.
Wow, it's amazing how 2 centimeters can make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
They're hosing this thing down.
Yeah.
My dad was living here in St. Louis at the time, and he watched it on television. It was like a big deal to watch that because everyone did. It's like you didn't work that day. You didn't go to school or whatever it was. You watched that piece go down. It was a pretty awesome moment.
Yeah.
You actually talk sports in this book, too.
Yeah.
What are some sports things you may have discovered?
Yeah, great. Like, one of my favorites is Eddie Goodell, which is the famous, the little person who took, you know, went to bat for the St. Louis Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, you walked on 4 pitches. But the story is even better because Bill Veeck, It was, you know, a big promotion of his to have this guy bat in the game. But he batted in the second game of a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Eddie came onto the field was kind of funny. In the first game, he was brought out and popped out of a giant cake. So we have a photo.
This is a professional game.
Yeah, yeah.
He pops out of a cake.
Big cake. And he pops out of the cake. And all the press are like, you know, because Vec had, you know, promoted all this craziness.
Yeah.
And they were like, really? That's it? And so he knew what he was doing, though. And then in the second game, he went up and batted. So, but another great one, I got to tell you, is the St. Louis Motordrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100 years ago, there was an arena at South Grand and Merrimack, a circular motorcycle track with a bank of 62 degrees, where these maniacs on motorcycles raced at 80 miles an hour with
wow.
with no brakes. And they literally risked their lives, not just by the threat of being thrown out of the arena, but they were racing on pine boards, and nails could come out of those boards and impale people.
Whew.
Yeah. And so we have a couple photos in there of not only that track, but a couple of guys that raced on it.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just great stuff.
You have a picture of a flatbed semi bringing in a dinosaur, the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Is this the same dinosaur that's outside of the Science Center right now?
Yeah. Originally, they were in Clayton.
Yeah.
And when they decided to move them to Forest Park, they took them apart, loaded them on a flatbed, and drove them through town.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I always assumed that was the first exhibit they had inside the Science Center, and then when they replaced it with the animatronic dinosaurs, they just took those ones out.
No.
So, no, this actually came from a different location.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a little known fact. Like, when we go to the Science Center, we always go on that side first, the space side,
mm-hmm.
and then we walk around because my son likes to see the dinosaurs that are out there. It's kind of like a little hidden area. You have to know it's there to go see it.
Yeah.
So instead of going in the doors where they have the space side of the Science Center, you just kind of like follow the pathway around. They have the Blue Angel, and then you keep that going down that pathway, and behind the trees, there's two dinosaurs over there. Last time I was there this summer, there was, I think, a beehive in his mouth. So the dinosaur was like, there's bees coming out of its mouth. Now that's a cool dinosaur.
That is.
You want to get a kid interested in dinosaurs, it's not hard to begin with, but you show him one with bees coming out of his mouth. Scenes of Historic Wonder St. Louis, and author Cameron Collins joins us in studio. Great conversation about some of the great things that he's discovered across St. Louis.
More of KMOX Profiles coming up next. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Don't go anywhere.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals. Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Joining us in studio is our special guest, one of the co-authors of a new book called Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis, Cameron Collins. Where can people find the book right now?
It can be found anywhere books are sold, local bookstores, Barnes & Noble. I sell it on my blog.
Oh, cool. So, what's that?
DistilledHistory.com.
How much does this weigh?
Jeez. 4 pounds, maybe?
No, it's an impressive book.
Yeah.
Whenever you get the illustrations or the photos that are in color like this, it has a special type of paper you need for it.
Yeah.
Nice hardcover book. You talk about the Olympics?
Yeah, and that's a subject dear to my heart. Like, the St. Louis Olympics in 1904 is filled with great stories. And one of the ones that I use in there is a gentleman named George Iser,
mm-hmm.
who was a German. He was an immigrant here to St. Louis, and he was a gymnast, which was a popular sport among German immigrants. And in one day in the 1904 Olympics, he won 6 gymnastics medals, and that's notable because he did it with one wooden leg.
Wow.
He was hit by a train as a child.
Something else.
Yeah, yeah.
The Olympics, there's some great history to the Olympics in itself. There's a lot of remnants of things that are spread around. Last year, they were talking about putting some monuments down regarding where the Olympics and some of the places. They really should put some markers down, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Like, for example, they do. I've seen some markers for the marathon route.
Yeah.
And that is a whole great story. Like, the guy who who won, you know, like this isn't in the book, but the guy that originally won, like they found out that he had taken a car ride for most
right,
of it.
Yeah.
The guy that did actually win had taken strychnine along the route, and there was a Cuban fella who ran the race in like his dress shoes. There's all sorts of great stories.
Would this have happened in Chicago if they got the Olympics?
That's the thing is like, you know, St. Louis had to give it its own little
of course.
Flair. Yeah.
Here's one, Bobby Darin's dream car, and I'm looking at a picture of this. Is this the car that's at the Transportation Museum?
I don't know where it is, but...
You've been to the Transportation Museum.
I have, yeah.
So they have the main building when you walk in and get your tickets or whatever, then you go up the hill, and they have the one classic car exhibit, and there's one car there that they talk about. It was just so expensive to make. And I'm looking at a picture, and it looks very similar to this one. I was curious if it was the same car. So this is Bobby Darin's dream car. Mm-hmm. What's the story there? Do you know?
You know, that one my co-author wrote. So,
oh, yeah. I see. That's right.
Yeah.
How did you guys divvy up the stories you would look into?
It was great, actually, because the funny thing is this book was supposed to have a different feel to it. It was supposed to be more of a humor book. And my co-author and I kind of convinced the publisher we wanted to go a more historical route.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of what that did was eliminated a lot of the photos that we had already selected. And then Jamie and I just went nuts finding photos that we thought were going to be sufficient and historical. So,
are there any time capsules we don't know about around St. Louis? Because part of uncovering some of these things, I'm sure there's a bunch buried around here that we long forgotten about.
Yeah, especially with the caves underneath the city, you know? So here's a great story. It's not in this book. It's in my second book, which is about the beer history of St. Louis. But like when they excavated the Green Tree Brewery, which is now where an AB parking lot stood, or stands now, they turned it into a parking lot, and they found the cave network of the Green Tree Brewery underneath, and they did put a time capsule down in there.
Oh, wow.
In the form of a keg.
Okay.
Very, very appropriate. Yeah.
I remember when they were going to move that statue out of Forest Park, that there, the Confederate statue, that there was a time capsule that was built into that they forgot about. I don't know if they ever opened it.
I don't
know.
They
might have. I know there was a big deal about them transporting it because they were going to take it over to Jefferson Barracks, who were going to be able to preserve it that way. And one of the things of them picking up this statue and moving it and the cost of it was they knew that there was a time capsule, but I don't think the people and the politicians knew it was in there. So they were like very sly. They're like, oh, yeah, well, don't worry. We'll take care of this, knowing that this really awesome piece of history was inside of it. St. Louis Olympic Stadium. There's so much to talk about in this book.
Yeah.
So can you stick around? Can we go one more segment after
Please
the news?
Do. Yeah, I'd love to do that. Here.
I see that tunnel picture you were talking about. Look at this tunnel. That's impressive. I don't even know how 1920s they had the technology to even make a tunnel like this. It's remarkable. You got to think about the elbow grease that went into all of these different projects that are around the area.
So many great stories to share about St. Louis and a book that just came out in 2019, Scenes of Historic Wonder. St. Louis is a what they call provocative, awe-inspiring, and just plain bizarre description of some of the different scenes that have been captured around St. Louis over the years. So many great glimpses into everyday life, family, public events, things like that. And one of the co-authors of the book, Cameron Collins, will continue our profile of him next. And we may even open up the KMOX Sports Archive, something pretty big in town. It's not the first time it's been here. We'll play a little bit of that for you next on KMOX.
Now back to Profiles on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
From the book Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis, co-author Cameron Collins. Thank you for sticking around an extra segment here.
Thank you. It's great. I'm happy to be here.
There's a part of the book, this had to have been your part of it because it has to do with Budweiser. And I know you do the other book. What was your other book that you wrote? It was...
I was co-author on the third edition of St. Louis Brews, the history
of St. Louis Brews, yes.
And then Lost Treasures of St. Louis is my first book.
So during the Prohibition, Budweiser sold barley malt syrup?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so...
barley malt syrup. So it came in a can and it was meant for pastries?
Yeah.
That was the advertised use for it.
They were the, you know, even Gussie Bush said himself that they were the biggest bootleggers in the United States because all they did was just sell their ingredients separately so people could make their own beer at home.
God bless America. You know, that's what capitalism will do.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of what looks like two children delivering these cans of Budweiser barley malt syrup, which look like little paint cans if you were to go to the store and buy like a pint of paint or whatever. And there they are delivering them. What looks like a donkey that's carrying them around instead of a Clydesdale. And you have a quote in here. It said, newspaper in Lima, Ohio. I'm going to guess that's the Lima News. Curiously enough, mentioned that the extract was sold in the city each week to bake 16 loaves of bread for every citizen. Mm-hmm. You learn about things like that. What are some historic landmarks around St. Louis that you may have discovered something historic happened there in the course of looking up and researching this book? Is there anything that comes to mind?
It is kind of well known, but the Big Mound.
Yeah.
You got a great photo of that. You know, there's still a boulder still remaining, you know, St. Louis being known as the Mound City. Mm-hmm. We have a great photo when it was much larger before the citizens basically knocked it down. Mm-hmm. And guys are standing on it. And, you know, today all that's left is one little rock underneath the new bridge up there.
That's all that's left of it all.
Yeah.
There's pictures of men standing on top of this.
Yeah.
Dirt everywhere.
Yeah.
Nothing developed.
Yeah.
Thinking, what's going on? Mound City, you may have to explain that to me. I was at the History Museum this past weekend. In the kids section, they have towards the back where they show some of the homes that were built into mounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was popular in Illinois. There's only, they said, I think one left in this region.
There
homes
is.
That were built into mounds.
Yeah. So, of course, we have Cahokia Mounds across the river.
Right.
And all, but those mounds, once much smaller, existed over on this side of the river as well. That's why they were called. St. Louis is known as Mound City, and there is still one that exists down right off of South Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have a house on it until, I think, just a couple years ago when the Osage Indians purchased the property and took the house down.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me the story about the miners who built St. Louis. I'm looking at the picture here. These guys don't look too happy to be underground mining.
No,
not at all. Like, look at this guy's face, haunts me looking at it.
Yeah, and that is such a fascinating aspect of St. Louis history, where, of course, when the areas such as Dogtown that we know today and the Hill were, you know, it was discovered that there were, you know, really rich clay deposits, and those areas turned into mining communities where, of course, the Irish who settled in Dogtown and the Italians and in the Hill neighborhood. And then today you can even see that industrial area south of Manchester Road. That's where all the brick factories were. And even to this day, St. Louis is known as the red brick mama. Like, and red brick all over the city, helping develop our wonderful architecture here as well.
What's this? Eventually, the driver of this Dodge truck was not satisfied as a customer. So people getting ripped off, they bought a lemon, was upset about it. What? So this displays of anger towards companies in St. Louis. What's this truck story?
Yeah, that one's another Jamie one. So
yeah. It says here that, let's see, 3019 Washington Avenue. I wonder where that's at. It can't be too far from Washington. It's just a street down from us.
Right.
And covered it with signs naming it Miss Lemon Number 2 and another lemon. I love this. Ask the driver of this pile of junk if you want to know the truth about the Dodge 1.5-ton truck. So apparently a hauling company not too happy with their purchase and how they were treated after the fact. People do that, man. They put these signs up, and if you have a problem with something and you're not satisfied, there's always, I guess there's been displays of public dissatisfaction for decades and centuries, even if you want to go back. That's pretty remarkable. What are there any other closing stories that you want to tell that you can find inside of Scenes of Historic Wonder St. Louis?
Yeah, geez, there's so many. One of my favorite photos, you mentioned it before we went on air. There's this great photo of a bunch of kids pointing rifles into the air.
Yeah.
And it looks very pro-gun, mm-hmm. you know, like it looks like these kids are about to shoot
It looks like to me they were handing out rifles to kids, like, and you get a rifle, and you get a rifle, and you get a rifle.
It does, yeah. But actually what it is, it's they were, the kids were exchanging their rifles for cameras, and it was, it was a campaign that's still back, you know, 100 years ago, where children were suggested shoot photos instead of guns.
Wow. Yeah. What year do you think that was? That 1920s, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's many years ago. Wow. One of the we tell about these stories, but really the stories come to life when you see the photos, and the way you see these photos is to pick up this book. It's called Scenes of Historic Wonder. And here in St. Louis, one of the co-authors, Cameron Collins, you live in St. Louis now. What year did you move here?
I have been here a while. I moved here in 1995.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a native, but I just moved my mother here.
Hmm.
And so I have no ties anywhere else.
1995 was the 90s were a fun time. A lot going on. 95 would have been the year I think I visited St. Louis with my family. And I remember going down. Could you still park your car right on the Mississippi to go visit the arch at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember that.
Yeah, there wasn't really. I mean, when we went to go visit, it was I felt like my dad parked on a hill almost sideways just to get a parking spot so we can go see this stuff. And it was like, I wonder today, there's nothing comparable. There's no way you'd even be allowed to do anything like that, even close to the arch. And we went to Grant's Farm, and it was fun to go to that. And I remember visiting a bunch of family members in town. 95 was a fun time. The Olympics were going on, right? That was the Atlanta Olympics year.
The Atlanta Olympics, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Now, people wanted to pick up your book, Scenes of Historic Wonder. Where can they find it?
Anywhere books are sold, but again, also on signed copies can be found on my website, distilledhistory.com.
Distilledhistory.com.
Yes.
Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis. One of the co-authors, Cameron Collins. You wrote it with Jamie Barassa?
Yes.
And she works at the History Museum.
She works in the library.
Oh, cool.
And she is brilliant and couldn't have done it without her.
Wonderful. Cameron Collins, I'm so glad you came in to talk about some St. Louis history with us here tonight.
Thank you. This is like my favorite interview. So,
really?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
That I've been out for 45 minutes. It's fantastic.
We do a post-interview, yeah.
So just talking history. That's all I like to do is talk St. Louis history.
Is that all day, every day?
I have made it. It's not my day job, but I have made it my life outside of work.
Do you travel on public transportation and just tell stories to anyone that would listen?
No, and I haven't done it on the Del Mar trolley either. So.
Well, you would talk to no one. You'd be the only one on it. You could take a tram up to the top of the arch and tell anyone inside of the pod.
Yeah.
You could do that. There's a lot of places you can go to. A lot of parks right about now. You can trick
tours.
Or treat. Like if someone goes to your house trick or treating, you open up the door and tell them history until they realize you're not giving them candy, and then they just, you know, leave.
Yeah, but I have, you know, I do throw out too much history to some people, I think. I think they get a little tired of me.
You said you do tours?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I just did one for the, I work closely not just with Campbell House Museum, but I did it, I work with the Missouri Humanities Council and Landmarks Association.
Oh, cool.
And I've done presentations at the History Museum as well.
Great.
So,
great auditorium there.
I have a lot of fun.
Scenes of Historic Wonder, St. Louis, co-author Cameron Collins. Thank you for coming on. I had a great time talking to you here tonight.
Thank you.
And since we have a couple extra minutes in this KMOX profile, I thought, well, how about we go back into the KMOX Sports Archives and we look at something historic, Scenes of Historic Wonder. In 1988, the NHL All-Star Game was here in St. Louis, Missouri, just like it is here in 2020. Things look a lot different some 30 years ago. Wow, it's hard to believe it was that long. But KMOX was there, and it sounded a little something like this.
I'm Mary Phelan.
And I'm Charlie Brown, KMOX Radio News. Let's go to the Adams Mark Hotel downtown. Here's Ron Jacobert.
All right, thank you very much, Charlie, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sports Open Line tonight, coming to you live from the Adams Mark Hotel here in downtown St. Louis, because it's another party night for the National Hockey League and its All-Stars. A glittering time in our city, and all the big hockey stars will be here.
The 1988 NHL All-Star Game brought in some really big names. The NHL All-Stars, Rob Ramage was the one player that represented the Blues. There was a couple of other interviews that stood out to me, one of which was with the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
The most eligible bachelor in the world is about to
be married, and he had to come to St. Louis to find his bride. How about that? You didn't know St. Louis was a town of beautiful women, Wayne Gretzky.
Well, I feel very fortunate. She's a great lady, and of course, as you know, she's from St. Louis, and we're going to get married this summer, and I'm pretty excited about it. And as you said, I don't know St. Louis too well, but I've been here a little bit more than I usually have in the past and enjoying myself very much.
It's ironical that now that you're engaged to Janet, that the All-Star game is right here in St. Louis where her family can enjoy it. I imagine that you'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be pretty exciting that, you know, her family's from here, and last night we had a little party at her mother's house, and she has a great family, and they're great people, and we're having a wonderful time here in St. Louis, and as you said, it's just seems to be in the cards that this year Janet and I met, and the All-Star game happened to be in St. Louis, and we're both pretty excited about it.
And let's not forget, if there's going to be an NHL All-Star game, you better give an invite to Mr. Hockey himself, Gordie Howe.
Standing here, and Gordie and I are going over trying to figure out how many All-Star games he actually played in. We were up to, what, 25 or 26?
I think it's around 25 or 26, yes.
And now you're here as the father of one of the All-Stars, and I bet you're getting as big a kick out of watching Mark's stardom in the league as you did your own.
I didn't know it showed, but yeah, you know, everybody wishes well for their children, and Mark has played extremely well, and he's excited about it. He missed a rendezvous because he had a very bad back, and then he also missed the Calgary game, yeah, because of the I guess he had a fractured collarbone or something, and so the poor kid, you know, he's had his lumps, but he said this time his son's with him, his wife, and then mom and dad. So he's going out there. He's excited about it. And that's the way he should be. It's a very honorable position when you're chosen the best or one of the best of a group of athletes that you're playing against and with.
Gordy, you're involved with hockey in a couple of ways, and we have you on the air from time to time about the Emory Edge Award. You're also connected with the Hartford Whalers. How do you like the hockey situation now? What's the status of the game in Gordie Howe's opinion?
Well, the status that I see it right now, sometimes it's a hard game to sell because of the helmets. I know it's a must because of the fact that if you don't have helmets, you don't get insurance, and the game would be dead without it. So, but it's like selling a car with a tarp on it. Some of these young players are walking around here. Now, I'm in the business, you're in the business. I don't know them without their helmet number on. Well, that's my fault. I should look into it a little deeper. I think the game is faster, they're stronger, they're bigger, and they're smarter. There's one bit of ingredients missing. I don't think they carry and handle that puck as much as the past players, but since they inherited that more than one line pass, we had a one line pass period. You had to receive it before you hit the other blue line or the red line, and and you saw it many times. You said, where did the hitting go in center ice? That's where it went. It went with the inception that you can go along the puck precedes, you go whole length of the ice and still be onside. And I think that has taken a little bit away from the game, but it's sped it up, and that's the excitement of the game. It afforded more scoring opportunities.
Hope you enjoyed that little trip down memory lane. We had a couple of minutes after this profile, so I thought, why not? We have great interviews every night on Overnight America. That's where you can normally catch me, Ryan Recker, or you can go back and listen to any of these interviews or these podcasts, these profiles, at KMOX.com in the podcast section.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.